Good morning. Welcome to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week I have the Master Gardener Program Coordinator, Stacy Hall, here. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning.
Okay, so what does a program director do, or coordinator?
I help develop the Master Gardening training classes that we have January through March. Mm-hmm. And I support our local Master Gardener Association with information from OSU and help run the office portion of it with our volunteers.
Okay. And so if somebody calls the office and they have a question, do they get you? Like, they have a gardening question.
Yes.
They do. Okay. And then, but there's the Master Gardener hotline is open now.
It is.
So when does it opens in the spring? When does it open when classes are over so that there's a new class of
yes.
newbies that need that training?
Yes. Generally, it opens the week following Mother's Day when you begin to see Master Gardeners at the Sunday market.
Uh-huh.
This year, it's every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
That's it?
That's it.
Why is that it?
4 hours a week feels
okay.
Sufficient.
So now, the majority of the people over the years who run the hotline are new graduates from the Master Gardener program.
Yes,
right?
In addition to veterans.
Okay, well, right. And the veterans, they're there to give them some guidance and to help them with the tough questions.
Yes.
We never had that. What we had was the program coordinator, and he knew all the answers, and we didn't know anything. It was quite an education going through the process. You learn a ton if you get to be at work in the office. I mean, sometimes people think it's a really intimidating thing, but it's an opportunity to learn a lot.
It is an opportunity to learn a lot. And that's really where our students get the research portion of their education. When clients call with questions, horticulture related, it gives our new students an opportunity to learn how to research with the guidance of a veteran as well as myself.
Okay, so this has been a pretty atypical year in every way.
Yes, it has.
And so I'll bet the questions you're getting are as atypical as the weather.
I think so.
Uh-huh. So what have you been seeing?
It feels like a lot of people are calling with questions about trees and shrubs. Generally, lots of rhododendron questions.
What? How can there be questions about rhodies? They grow and they look green most of the year, and then they bloom, and then it rains and the blooms fall off, and then we're done, and then we're back to the green. What is there? You don't even do anything to them.
I think it's because the weather has been nicer. People have been outside earlier in the year, and they're noticing things that they may not have noticed in previous years.
Okay, so what are they having issues with their rhodies?
We're seeing a lot of lime-induced chlorosis, so yellowing of the leaves.
Oh, they're over-liming?
Sometimes it's just because of where they're planted. Concrete planters next to sidewalks.
Oh, right, next to the foundation.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, maybe we should talk about that. A lot of people in years past, in fact, over the last 100 years, have planted rhodies and azaleas and camellias as right around the house plants. So right adjacent to a foundation.
Yes.
Now, some of those are still living and they're taller than the house.
Yes.
And they're perfectly fine. So when do you see a problem with that? Is it with a younger one?
I think most of the calls that we've had this year, the rhodies vary in age.
Oh.
That's why it feels like maybe it's because people are noticing more. These problems may have existed, were not necessarily noticed, but now we've had wonderful weather. And mm-hmm. people have been out in their yards earlier. Things are blooming a little bit earlier, and they're seeing it.
Interesting. Well, yeah, certainly when the weather's better, we spend more time outside. When mm-hmm. the weather's lousy, nobody wants to go out and do anything. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so they have yellow leaves.
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't have that, so that's good. Check that one off. I don't have to deal. So what's the treatment for yellow leaf? Lower the pH, sounds
like.
It is. Like.
It's lower the pH.
Throw out compost?
Yes, you can add compost. Sometimes it's cleaning up around the bottom of your roti, removing some of the debris. Healthy pruning is also a way to help.
Pruning rotis, it's like it's rarely necessary. I mean, really?
Sometimes it's really necessary. Oh. Whenever they get old and you start to see those broken branches or branches that rub, those are things you should be looking for.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This is not the time of year to be pruning. That's something that you should do later after the blooms fall off.
I think we're almost there.
Okay.
I mean, I think for, you know, I guess some of the late ones are still blooming.
Yes, and we will get there. Other things that we are seeing with rotis are rusts.
Oh, you know, I saw an article last weekend in the Oregonian about that this would be a bad year for rust. Mm-hmm. Rust is a weird thing. What kind of an organism is it? But it looks kind of orange.
It does. Rust,
and it can be, like, I know it's really bad on hollyhocks and delphiniums, mm-hmm. can be on roses, and it can completely cover the leaves. It can be just on the underside, and it doesn't kill the plant, but it looks terrible. So
it does look terrible, and with rust, you should collect and burn any infected leaves.
Not in the compost. Okay.
Not in the compost.
Okay.
And also spacing for good air circulation.
Uh-huh. So if the branches are too close mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. So, wait, was this rust on rotis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So you can get rust on rotis.
Oh, that sounds bad.
And it sounds bad. I'm not sure.
Because what I found is once a plant got rust,
mm-hmm.
I could never get rid of it.
Yeah.
So we should definitely look up what the cause is. Is there a prevention?
Really the cultural controls, keeping the area clean, making sure there's enough air circulation by doing your healthy pruning.
Okay, so if you see any rust, you need to take it away right away.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You do. And those seem to be the two main controls for keeping rust at bay.
Interesting. So it's mm-hmm. not a spray thing.
No, it is not.
Well, that's nice. Huh, I wonder if there's anything preventative in, like, whatever, in like, you know, in the fall that you could do something to make your plant healthier so it would be more resistant to the rust?
It's a fungus.
It's a fungus. Well, so, okay.
And that explains because when it's moist and damp and you don't have that good air circulation, that fungus grows and it spreads.
Well, so. Okay, so this is going to be a bad year for all those things, all mm-hmm. the fungi, because it didn't get cold enough to kill anything. And, I mean, of course, it didn't kill bugs either.
No, it didn't.
Man, the snails and the slugs. Yeah, the bugs are early. But also, we've had a lot of ladybugs. We've mm-hmm. We've already eaten 4 artichokes.
Nice.
And the artichokes are covered with bugs. They are covered with spiders, flies, mm-hmm. and aphids, and ladybugs.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that the spiders and the ladybugs are eating the aphids and the flies or
yes.
some, right? Something
yes.
like that?
The aphids. They're really going for the aphids.
Uh-huh. So it was so weird. I was out in the garden and there were, you know, these beautiful artichokes. Mm-hmm. And there are all these red dots. It's like, you know, I'm at a distance. What are these red dots? And they're like not just one or two. A whole bunch of ladybugs.
Nice.
So we were supplying early ladybug food. I mean, usually you think you buy ladybugs. Mm-hmm. They have dinner and they leave.
That's true. I can never get mine to hang around.
I know. Well, I mean, they do their job, you know, when you need it right then, but then mm-hmm. you'd like them to hang around. So apparently they hung around, or I don't know, maybe they were living in the house over the winter, but with a mild winter,
happens.
We're going to have everything.
Yes.
And so if we can supply more of the helpful things, then
like ladybugs.
Right. We can. And so that's something you could go buy. And it looks like they would probably be fine now because it's there they are.
They are there. We've had a lot of calls about slugs and snails in the garden.
Okay, let's talk about those.
Or things eating. Lots of times we get calls about something is eating my plants.
Well, does it look like it's a big thing or a little thing?
Well, many times it's slugs. This year they're very voracious. They didn't die out over the winter much.
Right.
And so they're coming out in droves and they're everywhere.
Well, and there are lots of kinds of slugs. Slugs aren't just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of teeny weeny weeny little ones that look like worms to banana slugs and everything
Absolutely.
In between, all different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different things they like to eat.
They do. They do. I think it's pretty universal. They all like to eat hostas.
Uh-huh. But it's a little... Oh, I guess it's not that early. Hostas are open.
Mm-hmm.
What am I thinking? Well, they like a lot of things. They don't really like roses.
No, they don't like roses. I haven't seen any on my own smoke bush, so... There are things that they will avoid.
They don't like berries.
Mm-mm.
They don't bother with trees like fruit, but in your vegetable garden, all bets are off.
Yes.
They like it all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and in your flower beds,
That's true.
Taken out my Gerbera daisies.
Oh,
yes,
sad.
It is sad.
Okay, so let's talk about some effective, non-toxic treatments for slugs. What's your favorite?
Let's see. My favorite is I try to move things off the ground first. It's really about avoidance and deterrence.
I see. You're in the denial mode.
Well.
I mean, I haven't. I don't know. Okay, so let's say I have a kale plant. They love kale.
They do love kale.
So what I do, I plant a lot and I put out sluggo, which is a mineral formulation.
It is.
I don't use the new one that has the new thing that I'm not sure that I trust.
I don't either. I use the pet safe one. I have dogs.
Uh-huh.
So I recommend a pet safe slug bait.
Okay. And so that means reading the label.
Yes.
And I put that around when the plants are young. And then once they get big enough, then I don't mind sharing a little. But if they're young, they'll take a whole. I haven't noticed them on the spinach. I have two kinds of spinach. Okay, I think I have one kind now because the first kind bolted, but the second ones have these really thick leaves and they're just, it's delicious. I haven't seen slugs there.
Nice. So that may be something that they don't like, that variety of spinach.
Maybe.
Or maybe they don't like it right now.
Oh, they might like it later? Yeah.
Or they might have liked it earlier.
Oh, interesting.
It was a little more tender.
Right.
They
don't seem to be eating any peas. They don't seem... The deer, however, they mowed the peas.
Yeah, and they will.
Yeah, so now there's bird netting on, and the deer hate bird netting.
Yes, they do.
So, okay, like some people like to use salt, ammonia, or beer for slug control.
I don't recommend salt. It can damage your soil,
okay,
which can hurt other plants.
Uh-huh.
I've not used ammonia. I have used beer traps, and the yeast in the beer attracts the slugs. The slugs go in for a drink, and they get woozy and drown in the beer.
I like that idea.
However, you have to clean those traps, and you have to replenish that beer often, which can be time-consuming and labor-intensive if you have a large garden. I do a combination of things. I do use the sluggo, but I use it away from my garden. Slugs can smell it from quite a distance. So I put sluggo out of my driveway where I don't have anything growing to draw them away from my plants.
You mean they're actually drawn to the sluggo?
Yes, they are.
Oh, charming. So you put it around your plants and they go to the plants.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. But that's what they tell you to do. This is a trick.
I know. And it feels counterintuitive. But since I've been putting it away, I have noticed less slug damage.
Okay, so do you have piles of slugs at the sluggo at the away place?
I'm not going to go out and look in the driveway at night, but I imagine they are walking that way. I have been picking up my containers and looking under them where I typically find four or five slugs.
Right.
And I'm not seeing any.
Oh, nice.
So in addition to that, I use copper as a deterrent, copper tape or copper wire. It gives them a little jolt when they cross over
it. So where do you put it?
Around my containers or around my raised beds.
Oh, like if it's a wooden raised bed, you'd put it along the top edge?
Yes.
Like nail it in or glue it?
You can nail it or glue it. Tapes okay. are pretty nice because you can put them down and then put a few little finishing nails just to hold it.
Got it.
However, if they make a slime trail, then they'll be able to cross it with ease. So you do have to be a little bit vigilant and wipe it off.
Okay, but you know, the other thing is when people put those, then they think they are done. What about mm-hmm. the ones that are already in the soil?
You need to look early morning, in the evening, go out and
yuck.
You know, hand removal is the best, most effective way with slugs.
Fine. I did want to say that we got snails with some garden plants a couple mm-hmm. years ago, mm-hmm. and they are proliferating, and I had found them on my grapes, on the leaves, and on all kinds of green things, and I'm very unhappy, and they are large. I mean, there are some that are small, mm-hmm. and I throw them on the street and hope that a car runs over them or that a bird picks them up. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just slugs. Before last year, I never had anything like a snail, or maybe it's been 2 years. And I know that I bought something mm-hmm. from a nursery or some vendor at the Sunday market. I bought it. I brought a slug a snail home. And mm-hmm. so you may get new bugs inadvertently.
You can.
And that is awful. So, okay. So let's talk about, what's the next thing that people are issues?
On some of woody shrubs, people are seeing some shoot dieback or new shoots that are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is caused by cold injury from back in mid-November when we had that little hard cold snap.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure it happened.
Mm. And it was brief, so gardeners don't automatically go, oh, back in November.
Okay, so then the plant was basically didn't have any leaves. We're talking about deciduous trees and shrubs.
Yes.
And then now it's like, why didn't that branch leaf out? Is that's what
yes,
people are saying?
Yes, and it's because those buds mm-hmm. died from that cold snap, or they got injured and weren't, you know, they're not able to grow properly.
It didn't kill whole bushes or trees. Okay, so people should just cut that, right?
Yes,
prune that out.
Just prune that out.
Prune it out to live wood?
Yes.
Okay, and maybe make it look nice?
Yes, not be careful. Don't over prune. Don't be overzealous. You don't want to shock your shrub.
Okay.
But if you have a branch that looks pretty sad, my recommendation, remove it.
You know, we had, I did have some hydrangeas. Had some die off.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think anything about it. I just figure things die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was from that.
It possibly.
Because we did have a late, we had a late dormancy last year because it was so warm.
Mm-hmm.
So then things were more, there was more energy in the terminal buds and in the branches than there should have been. They should have been more to sleep and turned off, but they were turned on, so.
They were, and this is pretty common where they're seeing this problem, not just in our county, but in surrounding counties as well.
Uh-huh, so probably throughout the state.
Yes.
So and if it's a tree, you could lose a branch of a tree. That could be a significant thing.
You could.
But it'd probably be a young tree?
Probably.
Okay.
On the smaller side. Most of the calls that we've been getting are from shrubs,
uh-huh.
you know, woody.
Okay, smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another question we've had a lot about is the box elder bugs, those little black and red bugs that are attached to each other and they're flying everywhere. That has, I've received pictures and phone calls.
Okay.
People are very concerned that they're causing lots of damage.
And are they?
They're not.
Oh, they're not.
They're
not.
They're
just having sex.
They are.
Okay.
It's just mating season, and they're excited that it's spring and they're out. They live in maples and box elder trees. And that's
who has box elder trees? I mean, some people have it as a
shrub.
No, but what do you call that? As like a hedge.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't personally know anybody that has a tree like that. However, that's they live in the seed pods of those plants.
Oh, and nothing else?
And nothing else.
So if you don't, okay, well, there are a lot of maples, and people mm-hmm. plant ornament. Does it matter what kind of maple? Like, it could be an ornamental maple, mm-hmm. could be a lace leaf maple, a mm-hmm. blob Japanese maple, whatever.
In my research, I haven't found any distinction in the type okay. of maple.
So that would probably be the more common source in
this where area.
Yeah, because there's maples, and there's vine maple, and then yes. there's a big leaf maple. And
they're kind of everywhere.
Right.
So they're not hurting your ornamentals okay. or your vegetables.
They're just there.
They're just there.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's just as important to know what to ignore as it is to do what to do something about.
I agree. And recommendation is vacuum them.
Vacuum in your yard?
I guess you could use like a leaf vac. You could vacuum them or just squish them if they're really bothering you.
I've hardly seen any.
I've had a lot.
Oh, mm-hmm. So have you vacuumed?
I don't vacuum. I just
I them. Cannot vacuum in the yard. I mean, I can barely vacuum in the house. Forget yeah. the yard.
I'm not.
Yeah.
They're happy little bugs. I yeah. just leave them.
Yeah. So is it too early to put tomatoes, squash, beans out in the yard?
I think it depends on the size of your start. If they're very
okay.
fragile.
Little teeny ones.
Little what if they're, teeny
okay, or
ones.
So if they're bigger, maybe not. Yeah. Soil temperature?
Soil temperature, I mean, we're starting to see kind of a slow rise with it.
I haven't actually checked the soil temperatures in my raised beds where I might hazard to put some outside. They mostly mm-hmm. live in the greenhouse, but I have too many plants for the greenhouse.
My tomatoes live on my deck where they get that nice heat.
Okay, so as... Because they're in a pot, it's like the super raised bed.
Yes.
So the soil will be much warmer.
Yes.
Except at night, where the temperatures have been down in the early 50s,
mm-hmm.
and the tomatoes don't like that no, temperature.
They don't. Row cover can help.
Uh-huh.
Or even...
But would you even put them out yet?
I would put them out with a cover.
Okay. All right. And you what know. About the beans? Would you plant beans from seeds yet, or would you wait?
I think I might start considering it right now. I would uh-huh. definitely...
Get ready?
Get ready.
Okay, well, the bed that I'm going to do that in isn't even ready at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's got last year's beans hanging on.
Yeah.
And then...
Don't feel bad. You're not the only
I'm
one.
Sure. Squash. What about squash?
I think squash is probably okay.
Oh,
row
cool.
cover.
Row cover. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we have a small pumpkin plant went out in the yard this weekend, and it's sitting out there getting sopping wet right now. But, of course, I think it likes that.
I think so, too. You might be a little concerned about getting some powdery mildew on
oh,
the leaves.
Oh, yes, right off the bat.
It is so damp. Mm-hmm. Although, if we keep getting some more of these sunny weekends, that's definitely going to be helpful.
Well, wait. So if I put something to cover it, like some plastic, then that's going to keep it even moister and wetter.
You need to make sure you're venting your plastic.
Oh, God.
Checking.
So, okay. So if I had, like, a gallon jug with a narrow opening at the top and mm-hmm. had that opening opened.
Yes.
So if there was some kind of vent like that?
I think so.
I don't have that, but I'm well, actually, I could take maybe a plastic milk jug, cut the bottom out,
mm-hmm.
I could do that.
Make sure you stake it down because a good gust of wind will blow it off.
Oh, you're right. How do you stake a plastic jug?
You can use those garden staples or some bent wire.
And that keeps it in the dirt?
Sometimes.
I guess it depends how tough your dirt is.
It does depend on how tough
I mean,
your dirt
if you
is.
Have really nice, loamy, soft stuff, there's no purchase.
Yeah.
But if you have good concrete,
if you have that nice,
well, some
firm
of the some of my
soils.
Right, some that place where that is close to where it's pretty. The dirt is pretty hard and compacted.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you want to get some depth in those staples too. You don't want anything real shallow.
Right. If they're too shallow, they'll just.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any last things that we should look at?
Lots of people have been requesting soil testing.
Oh.
The knowledge is getting out there that soil testing is important, mm-hmm. that it's not just about our plants and what we're putting on our plants, but it's about what we're growing them in and the nutrients that they're getting from the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Our master gardeners do soil testing clinics early in the spring, and those have kind of stopped for the time being, and that's where we test the pH, so whether mm-hmm. you have acidic soil or a neutral soil. You can still bring a soil sample to the office, and I can test it for you there. And if you want more in-depth soil testing, I can provide a list of labs.
That you send your sample to, and yes. they'll send you a report.
Yes.
That sounds awesome. I know, it seems like, yeah, why wouldn't you want, I mean, right, we test ourselves. Why wouldn't we want to test our soil, especially when we're talking about our food?
Absolutely.
I mean, if it's more landscape stuff, mm-hmm. I suppose if a plant is failing or looking bad, that might be yeah. a great time to test that soil and see if the soil is part of the issue.
Absolutely. And, you know, like in the case with hydrangeas, depending on the acidity level of your soil will determine the color of most hydrangeas.
Okay, so how does it go? Pink is?
Is alkaline.
Okay.
And blue is acidic.
Well, so everything, we're probably going to have everything blue then, because yes. our soils are pretty darn acidic.
They are very acidic here.
Okay, but and you can change it. You can change your hydrangeas. What if they're white? So what's the deal? What's white about?
I think some cultivars are bred to remain white.
So then, like, no matter what the pH is, they'll be white.
Yes.
Good. That's good. You want it. I mean, if you buy a white one and it becomes purple, you go, what the hell?
Exactly.
This is what I signed up for.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Stacy. This has been fun. And people, let's give the office phone number.
Okay. You can call the Extension office at 503-325-8573.
That's good. And we have that number here at the station if you didn't get it. And you can call anytime and leave a message if somebody's not there to answer.
Absolutely.
And somebody will follow up and get you an answer.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing. My guest has been Stacy Hall. She is the program coordinator of the Master Gardener program in Clatsop County. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.